Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark. He is Steve Palmer. Steve, your man Luke Littler doing the business. Your man Rory McIlroy not quite doing the business. But how was the weekend for you?
Yes, much rather talk about darts than golf. Much rather talk about anything but golf, Dave. How's Angry Ginge getting on? Can we devote 45 minutes to Angry Ginge? Is he staying calm in the jungle?
6-4 in a place.
6-4. Oh, there we go. There we go. That's what we should be focusing on. Angry Ginge. This is a jungle podcast now. We hate golf.
No, listen, tough weekend. The PGA Tour was tough and, you know, playoff agony on the European Tour.
Yes. I mean, a challenging fortnight on the DP World Tour, because if Tommy Fleetwood had won the Abu Dhabi playoff, then we would have had a 25-1 double with Luke Littler activated. And then if Rory McIlroy had won the Dubai Desert, the DP World Tour Championship, we would have had a 13-1 double activated. So we've been trying these doubles with Luke Littler in the Grand Slam darts. Luke Littler was imperious and won comfortably. But unfortunately, Fleetwood lost to Aaron Rye in the playoff. And then, again, we would have been favourite in the playoff with Rory McIlroy and defeated by Matt Fitzpatrick. I just thought it was such a shame that Rory couldn't finish the job after the drama on the 18th green in regulation. It was such a wonderful moment. It seemed like it was the Irish Open all over again, didn't it, Dave? It looked like eagle the last and then win the playoff. But I think the key shot of the whole day was on the 16th hole, the tee shot at the 16th hole. I don't know whether you're watching, Dave. He took 3-wood at the 16th hole and it failed to carry the fairway bunker by literally like an inch. It was a tough decision for him whether to take 3-wood off the tee or driver. But if he takes driver, then he has the potential to, if he leaks it a bit, it could go in the water because he's so long with the driver. So I actually think 3-wood was the right club. But it was late in the day, the air was getting a bit heavy and it just didn't quite carry that bunker. If it does, it's in prime position, it's birdie or par from there. But when it caught the lip of the bunker, he ended up making bogey and then needed a fast finish, lipped out at 17, agonising lip out at 17 and then perfection at 18 to get in the playoff and then tried the same drive again in the playoff. I don't know if you were watching the playoff, Dave, but it was. This is safer gambling week, which we must address. And the safe gamble for Rory McIlroy would have been to go to the left of the creek. Yeah, there's a creek that runs up that 18th fairway, the par five. Matt Fitzpatrick has gone left in the rough, so Matt Fitzpatrick's going to have to lay up. So, yeah, very attacking play from Rory to go for the right of the creek, as he did on the 72nd hole when he needed an eagle. He didn't need an eagle to win the playoff. A birdie would have been enough. So it was a very attacking play, but he's a very attacking golfer, and that's why we love watching him. You know, he's very entertaining. Yeah. He's all guns blazing, and he's just made an eagle 20 minutes earlier on that hole from an attacking drive down the right there. So, who are we to challenge the course management of Rory McIlroy? He just didn't quite catch it, didn't quite connect. And, I keep going on about the heavy air. The air was heavier as the day went on, and he just couldn't get that carry over the creek, and he just tugged it a little bit. We live and learn, Dave. We live and learn.
We do. You've got carried away there. We're sort of off into the review already. But before we do, before we get into all of that, there'll be a little bit of jungle and darts chat as well, I'm sure, sprinkled in. You're, of course, here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us. We like reading through your comments, both positive and negative. So jump into the comments, like, comment and subscribe. And as Steve mentioned, this week is 2025 Safer Gambling Week. And this, of course, is a moment for the entire industry to highlight and promote safer gambling. All the information that you need will be on your screen. You can find plenty of guidance support at safergamblinguk.org. And the message I'll give you at the end of every sweet spot here is enjoy the golf and gamble responsibly, because it's meant to be fun. And that's what we're here for, to give, hopefully, well, Steve will give you a bit of guidance on where you should be placing your money, but it should be enjoyment for you as well. So all the information you need there on the website safergamblinguk.org. Right, you've already sort of drilled down into most of what happened at the end of the golf, Steve, but we will go to the DP World Tour Championship, the season finale, and it was Matt Fitzpatrick, who has had quite a decent 3-4 months, I suppose, in his career. He's going to look back on 2025 very fondly.
Absolutely. I mean, he's now a three-time winner at the Earth Course. You know, really impressive record at the Earth Course. I thought he was brilliant at the Ryder Cup. You remember at the Ryder Cup, he's courageous at times in the Ryder Cup. I was so impressed with his bravery in New York. And he just hasn't looked sharp since the Ryder Cup until last week. He didn't look sharp in Abu Dhabi the previous week, which is why I thought it was Rory and the Hoggards. Which is a ruddy good band name, I think you'll agree, Dave. But was a ruddy awful DP World Tour Championship staking plan. And Fitzpatrick, that up and down at the 72nd hole, like, yeah, that was a key moment, that, because it was a really tough up and down. You know, he's got that sort of quirky grip he uses for the pitches. Left below right. You know, I find it such an ugly chip in action. But it worked really well on that 72nd hole, and to get up and down for birdie and get to 18 under par and eliminate a load of other players, and then put the pressure on Rory McIlroy behind him to make the eagle up the last. Really impressed with Fitzpatrick on that 72nd hole. Not impressed with him in the playoff. I mean, both players really dipped in quality in the playoff. I mean, you had Rory McIlroy makes three on the 72nd hole, and then 20 minutes later makes six. So he needs three more shots than he needed in regulation on that hole. But then Fitzpatrick sort of hacked his way up the hole, and you know, you couldn't believe that he'd won the playoff against Rory McIlroy, the great Rory McIlroy, with a five at a reachable par five. I mean, the drive he tugged left, the second shot, Dave, my gosh, I thought we were going to get a reprieve there. Fitzpatrick's second shot in the playoff nearly went in the water. He floated it up, and he was panicking in midair. And it would have been remarkable if they both got in the water in the playoff hole. But Fitzpatrick, it was good for it's good for European golf. When two Ryder Cup heroes, great banter before the playoff. Dave, did you see that? There was incredible.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think McIlroy would have had a different mindset and maybe a different performance in the playoff if he'd needed to win the playoff to win the race to Dubai?
Yes, possibly. Yeah, there was a carefree drive, wasn't it, in the playoff? It's a good question, Dave. I think the events of 20 minutes earlier really dictated the play in the playoff, because obviously he's pumped to the nines. The emotion after the eagle putt went in. You know, he clearly heavily desired DP World Tour Championship glory. You know, the reaction to the eagle putt said it all. It's the highlight of my weekend for sure, the eagle putt. But
I'm not suggesting he weren't trying to win, because I think he was desperate to win. But different mindset.
Yeah, sure. And I just think when he saw Fitzpatrick go left in the rough there, he should have played left of the creek, it's a much safer shot. And as I say, he'd fancy himself to make birdie from left of the creek there. Went for the gung-ho approach, and it didn't pay off. But he's gone for the gung-ho approach plenty of times this year, and it has come off.
I think he touched three on in running, maybe a little bit shorter as well. Also runs. They were both on 18 under par. Ludwig Aubert, big showing on his debut at the track, 17 under. Laurie Kanter, big showing from him as well. Tommy Fleetwood, again, what a consistent dream of a golfer he has become. Near Guy Peterson as well, all at 17 under par. Thoughts on all of the above?
Well, thoughts on all of the above is that, I don't know how much room is in your bin, Dave, because I think you've inspired a lot of commentators to throw people in the bin, haven't you? obviously, you've got Michael Thorbjornsson's head poking outside of your bin. I've been urged in the comment section to throw Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen in the bin before last week's event, being urged to throw Ludvig Aubert in the bin before last week's event. And then Nygaard-Petersen and Aubert both finished third on their DP World Tour Championship debut. I mean, both incredible performances. Ludvig was slow out the traps with a 72, his first round at the Earth Course, then played brilliantly for the final 3 days. Yeah. And Nygaard-Petersen, I mean, my word, like, he's not getting a PGA Tour card in the Race to Dubai rankings with 5 holes to go. He needs an incredible last 5 holes to get a PGA Tour card. And he goes 5 under par for the final 5 holes. I mean, playing alongside Rory McIlroy, It was an unbelievable stretch of golf. And, you know, this is a 26-year-old playing in his first full season on the DP World Tour. He's won instant promotion to the PGA Tour, yet he's in some people's bins. He's got the lack of patience, Dave. It staggers me these days. The instant gratification is what everyone talks about the younger generation needing, isn't it? You know, Rasmus Nygaard Petersen's had one season on the DP World Tour. He's now on the PGA Tour. Ludvig Åberg almost won the Masters on debut, almost won the Masters this year, and he's in people's bins.
He would have broke my heart. He was the one player that I wanted to back this week, but because he hadn't played there before, it just...
Yeah. You were right, Dave. You were right, because he opened with a 72. He needed to settle in. But to have him in your bin is staggering. No wonder the world's got such a waste disposal crisis. Significant waste crisis in this world. Putting world-class golfers in their bins, Dave. So, yeah, I'd be interested to know people's thoughts on Nygaard Petersen and Ludvig Åberg, because I think they're both excellent.
I love Ludvig.
And I think they just need to improve their putting and they'll win all sorts. I mean, Ludvig Åberg will win a major soon, in my opinion. Rasmus Nygaard Petersen has played well in majors already. I think he's got huge potential. I mean, the Hoggard brothers, I know we've got tournaments to preview. We've got two tournaments to preview, but the Hoggard brothers, again, like, don't lose faith in the Hoggard brothers. I mean, the Hoggard brothers, you know, Nikolai Hoggard was three shots clear after two rounds. Obviously delighted with his progress at that stage, but then he was three shots behind after six holes of Saturday. It was an amazingly bad start to Saturday. His putter can go ice cold. And then even after that Saturday 73, he's still in contention. And on the Sunday, you think he could get back into it. When they finally showed him on the Sunday, Dave, I don't know what you were doing on the Sunday. They finally showed him it in his second shot to the fifth hole. And you think, all right, this is going to go close. He's back in it. He's a perfect shot. It's clattered into the flagstick, spun off the green, and he's made bogey. So, Nikolai Hoggard had a really frustrating weekend. And his brother had the opposite weekend, slow out the gates, and then bogey three over the weekend, 65-69. I'm on six places, 50-odd six places, finishes alone in seventh place. C'est la vie. So it was a challenging weekend, Dave.
It was a challenge for me trying to follow it on Sunday. I was actually on Southend Pier. I could have done with that delightful Wentworth woolly hat that you had on there, because it's absolutely freezing. I knew what had happened. Pete Selby, who's a broadcaster, top bloke, and he's an avid watcher of the Sweet Spot, he just sent me, Rory, that's unbelievable. So I knew what had gone on. I'm trying to follow it on my phone while not trying to drop my phone into the sea as well while I'm on Southend Pier. And I knew, like, Pete's message come through, and I knew what had happened. I just thought, wow, like, this is going to happen again, like the Irish Open. It was drama. You know, this is what we love, sport, drama, you know, and the thrills and spills. And, you know, this is safe for gambling week. But if you've got a wager on as well, I think it just makes it that little bit more exciting, but in moderation, right? But it's what we love, you know, it's what keeps us entertained at the weekend.
Exactly. It certainly wasn't a boring weekend, that's for sure, Dave. And, your Aaron Markhams, your Dugro Zugros have been really encouraging again this week. I really appreciate their comments. Kevin Hasnip is another one who keeps his pecker up. Yeah, it's important to keep peckers up. And, I'm really appreciating the positivity from those guys.
Okay, well, I will warn everyone that Tom McKibben and Michael Thiel-Bjørnsen are both playing this week as well. And we will be previewing them. So that is all to come. But before we get to the preview, one more tournament to look back on. Listen, if anyone found the winner of the Bermuda Championship, then fair play to you. We were rocking a driver from 2017, irons from 2018, and a putter from 2001, 243 PGA Tour starts in a first success for Adam Schenk. And, you know, just incredible. He was putting with a glove on, without a glove, changing his grip throughout the final round. Just carefree golf, it felt like it on the Sunday.
Yeah, named after the most destructive shot in golf, Mr. Schenk. Fascinating event. You know, really fascinating event. The wind blew all week. It was survival of the fittest, wasn't it? And Schenk handled it better than anyone. Playing, as you say, playing some really unconventional golf. I mean, putting one-handed on Saturday at times, it was remarkable. Apparently, he'd been in his hotel room between rounds and on the carpet. He's practicing his putting on the carpet in the hotel room. You know, the lonely life of the PGA Tour star. And the one-handed putting was working. So he took it to the course on Saturday and played some holes one-handed. And on the Sunday, he said it was too windy to putt one-handed. So he just sort of put his left hand on the grip just as a bit more security. But he said he was pulling putts two-handed. So, whether we'll see that again in future. But some of the shot-making as well. I mean, my favourite shot was the second shot on the par 5 17th on Sunday. It was essentially a long iron chip. He just chipped it about 200 yards along the fairway, as low as possible, to keep it out of the wind. You know, it was a brilliant shot. He played the par 5 with a lead, iron off the tee, chipped to like a 4 or 5 iron down the fairway, and then wedged on. So I thought it was incredible drama for a player that's under immense pressure. Like he's on the verge of losing his PGA Tour card, needed a massive performance to keep it, and now he has done. All credit to Mr. Shank.
Yeah, indeed. Listen, the names in behind, there'll be plenty of people unaware of some of these golfers, myself included. Runner-up, Chandler Phillips, we've got Frankie Kappen, Takuma Kaniaia, Max McGreevy, Vince Whaley, Alex Smalley. Listen, it was a different leaderboard on the Sunday for sure.
Yeah, lots of players scrapping for their cards for next season. I mean, Takumi Kaniaia is the one that I like best of those. You know, he tied third. I think he's good. You know, I like him. Former world number one amateur, Dave. You know, I've got my obsession with former world number one amateurs. He's 27 years of age, and I think he's good enough to win on the PGA Tour. I think it could happen fairly soon. He moved up to 99th in the FedEx Cup standing. So the top 100 keep their cards. So Kaniaia, big effort last week, and he's playing this week, hoping to stay in the top 100. I think he'll achieve that. And then just behind those ones you mentioned, Pearson Coody played well, Dave. Pearson Coody finished 22nd. He was creeping into contention on Saturday until he took 6 at a par 3. Par 3, 16th hole. Disaster on that hole. But generally, he was excellent last week. I think he's clearly up for winning at this level. It may happen this week. He's very tempting. There was a draw bias last week. He was on the wrong side of it.
Well, it looked like Hadwin was going to run away with it at one point.
Yeah, Hadwin. Hadwin was the experienced player up there, wasn't he? But a really interesting tournament. And similar this week, lots of players scrapping for their PGA Tour card. This is the final event of the PGA Tour Full Series.
Right, should we get into it then? Should we preview now? We're going to start with the Asian Tour. We're going for the Saudi International. Great field, yeah, Steve. Before, you know, we previewed the Hong Kong event a couple of weeks ago. That was on the Asian Tour as well. I think that one was co-sanctioned. I'm not sure if this one is. But a great field.
No, neither of them were. Yeah, this is like all the LIV players that fancy it have come into this one. And yeah, the Saudi International used to be a DP World Tour event, and now it's only an Asian Tour event. But yeah,
we want the points.
Yeah, high class field, it's definitely got our interest. And we're at Riyadh Golf Club in Saudi Arabia, 7,411 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. It hosted the Saudi Open on the Asian Tour in 2023 and last year. It hosted the Saudi International for the first time last year. And it also staged the inaugural LIV Riyadh in February. You might remember that one because it was played under floodlights. Do you remember that? Mm. Just for the fun of it, to you know, get people more interested in it. They played the entire event under floodlights. This week's event is not going to be under floodlights. It's going to be under the light provided by the Lord. Generous fairways. You can really attack off the tee. Accurate iron play the key to success. We've got sunny, warm, calm weather coming, a field of 120 going to post. And then, yeah, if you could sound the klaxon, Dave, I'm not sure I've got the luster to sound a klaxon today, but if you could sound the klaxon, okay. This is an important klaxon. It's not a draw bias klaxon. It's the klaxon to tell everyone that they need to get their bets on quickly.
Okay, this... right.
Got one in there, Dave? Yes, Dave, yes. Thank you very much. You've really come to the party there. This starts at 4:20 a.m. UK time on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
So get your bets on before you go to sleep tonight, if you're watching on Tuesday. We got to be quick. Yeah, it finishes on Saturday.
Right. I was just double checking if it is sort of Riyadh season, because the golf's in town. The snooker is as well. So what a time to be alive if you're in that part of the world. Of course, you're able to knock in a 1-6-7 break, and it's $1 million
yeah,
or £1 million.
The golden ball, isn't it? The golden ball, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So looking forward to all of that. Like the role of honour here is a very good one. Neiman, Ansah, Dustin Johnson's been a runner-up and twice a winner as well. Bubba Watson, a runner-up as well. Are we looking for length here, Steve?
Well, Dustin Johnson was at Royal Greens. He was very successful at Royal Greens. We're at Riyadh now, which seems to have taken over as the Saudi international venue. And as I say, has hosted lesser events on the Asian tour. So, yeah, we've got plenty of course form to dig through. Remains to be seen what mood Dustin turns up in.
Okay, well, it is a who's who of the livers, Steve rightly mentioned. Let's have a look at the market. Tyrrell Hatton leading at single figures with Neiman, McKibben, David Puig, Patrick Reed, Sebastian Munez, Abraham Ansah. They're all in there, looking all the way down. Dustin Johnson as big as 40-1. Brilliant field. Really looking forward to this one. It's got a bit of a live feel to it, the top of the market as well. How many selections?
Three
selections. Okay, who is the main pick then, Steve?
David Puig, who is a magnificent golfer. You'll only really know he's a magnificent golfer if you watch Live Golf, which I do. This was a brilliant college golfer at Arizona State, the same university that John Rahm went to. Then from the start of the 2023 Live season, Puig was given a place on Sergio Garcia's Fireball side. Garcia, a pretty ruthless character as captain. He doesn't, he hasn't got a lot of patience. He's a bit like you and your bin men. If someone underperforms, he gets rid of them. And Garcia axed a Spaniard from his side this year and replaced him with another Spaniard. There's no way Garcia is going to want to get rid of David Puig because he'd be aware of how good he is. I mean, there's more chance of David Puig playing Ryder Cup golf in future than Sergio Garcia. You know, Sergio Garcia, Ryder Cup legend, top point scorer, bloody, bloody, blah, but I think his Ryder Cup days are numbered. Puig is a 23-year-old Spaniard bursting with talent, and I think he'll find a way to get on future teams. This year, he's played in 12 live events. He's finished in the top 20 in all of them, Dave. Really consistent golfer now. He finished fourth three times. He finished sixth in Live Riyadh at this week's venue. He was 7 under par for the final round. Last year, he finished fifth in the Saudi Open on the Asian Tour at this course. He won on the Asian Tour in 2023 in Singapore. He won on the Asian Tour last year in Malaysia. So I think he's going to keep this streak going of getting an Asian Tour each year. And when he plays on the DP World Tour, he must be really impressing you. He's been a massive threat every time he's played on the DP World Tour. The last time we saw him on the DP World Tour was when he finished ninth in the Spanish Open. Last time out, he was 14th in the Hong Kong Open, which is not a suitable venue for him. This week, he's on a course that does suit him. He can get his favourite club out. He's a really attacking player, is David Puig. He can get the driver in his hands this week. He's hungry for success, fully focused. There's some in this field you'd question their focus, but not David Puig.
You'd be looking to let the big dog eat. No John Rahm. Might we have seen John Rahm in this event? Why is there no John Rahm?
No, remember, he's gone into hibernation. He's having the longest spell on the sidelines he's ever had.
A big so bear, like he is.
Yeah, that's it. No, he's in his cave until the resumption of the live season. So, no, he's having a really long break and, good luck to him.
Nah, criminal. We're missing the best years of John Rahm's golf life. He should be out there battling away. He should have been playing last week, you know. So, anyway, that's a whole nother show. Right, three selections. Who else have we got?
Next best is Thomas Peters, a forgotten man to many, an enormous talent who made a huge impact in the Ryder Cup in 2016. He made a huge impact on his Masters debut in 2017. He won six times on the DP World Tour. Then he joined Live in 2023. This is a former world number 23, still only 33 years of age. And when he's interested, Dave, he's dangerous. And there are signs lately that he's fully invested in his golf again. I wonder whether watching the Ryder Cup lit a spark in Thomas Peters, because he teamed up with Rory McIlroy at Hazeltine 9 years ago to devastating effect. Three wins alongside Rory McIlroy. Then Peters won his singles match. Nobody on either side scored as many points as Peters. I mean, Europe lost 17-11 that year, Dave, and Peters was the top scorer on either side. It was legendary stuff. He would love to get back on Team Europe and show off again in the Ryder Cup. And on the evidence of his 2025 Live campaign, and his last two starts on the Asian Tour, he would be an asset to Team Europe. He's posted 8 top 20s on the LIV circuit this year. He twice finished fourth. He was 18th at LIV Riyadh at the start of the year. He was 9th in the Saudi International at Riyadh Golf Club last year. His only real weakness these days is he's a bit loose off the tee. Massive fairways at Riyadh Golf Club. He was 9th in the Hong Kong Open earlier this month at a venue which doesn't suit him at all. He was 9th in the Singapore Open the week before last. So Peter's is keeping himself busy, Dave. He's keeping himself sharp. He's trying to improve his world ranking. I think we've got to take the hint. You know, he's active. He's up for it. And, you know, I haven't forgotten how good he is, Dave. I haven't forgotten how good Thomas Peters is.
I know you've got a place in your heart for Thomas Peters, haven't you?
I have, Dave. I knew you'd be smirking when his name come up. But I think he's a player that can be disinterested. But there are signs lately. That, you know, the fact he's teeing up in the Singapore Open, there are signs that he's got his game face back on. Kid's getting a bit older. Maybe he's ready to show us the real Thomas Peters again.
I'm a little bit surprised at his age. Actually, I would have been a buyer at 33.
Yeah. Still got plenty to offer. Just got a bit disgruntled with the PGA Tour. There was a few sponsors exemptions that were going elsewhere, and he had a little tiff with the PGA Tour and joined LIV. And LIV suits him because he likes a lighter schedule. But as I say, like, you know, he when he's got his head on, he's got all the tools. He's a phenomenal golfer. So in this field, yeah, it is LIV heavy, this field, but there's some stars, as you alluded to, like John Rahm, that are skipping it. Yeah, Thomas Peters will look at this field and fear nobody. He'll feel he's as good as anyone in this field.
Okay, right. So, Thomas Peters. One more selection to come. Who else you got for us?
It's Peter Uhlein, who greatly impressed us the other day in the Hong Kong Open. You remember he gave Tom McKibben a bit of a fright in the Hong Kong Open final round. Tom McKibben playing perfect golf, but Uhlein put him under pressure until a late snowman. He's become a player to follow on the Asian Tour as Peter Uhlein. He likes dipping into the Asian Tour, and he's really effective when he does. He won twice on the Asian Tour last year, both emphatic victories, 7-shot victory and a 5-shot victory. He was 3rd in the Saudi Open last year at Riyadh Golf Club. He closed with a 63. That was his course debut, closed with a 63. Then on his return in the Saudi International, he opened up with rounds of 66, 65, 66. And then had a disappointing Sunday, 74, finished 29th. Then he was 21st in LIV Riyadh on the LIV circuit. So, course proven, in form, you know, nice price. What's not to like about Peter Uhlein?
That is a selection that I absolutely love. And I love how far we have to scroll down to find him in the betting as well. So he's a nice big price. Right, the market principles. No rest for Tyrrell Hatton. He's on the move, and he's our market leader.
You make a very good point, Dave, because of the small gap between the events. You know, he's playing in the DP World Tour Championship. He's looked a little bit jaded in the last few weeks. I mean, he shot Sunday 75 in Abu Dhabi. So he was terrible in Abu Dhabi in the final round, and then on Sunday in the DP World Tour Championship, he shot 72. So he'd been wilting at the end of tournaments, and he's got little time to gather himself before teeing off in Saudi Arabia. I mean,
think he needs us to have a whip round for him either, does he?
No. I mean, he has performed on this course. He's got Riyadh form figures of 5-6. So you obviously have to respect him. But as favourite, short price, looking lackluster, looking like he's looking forward to Christmas. He's probably got his Christmas tree up already. I know some people get him up early. I can't have Hatton at the short prices, and I can't have Wackham Neiman at the short prices, because he was 33rd. He's defending champion, so lots of people will be looking very
seriously.
And a
win machine this year. Find me a golfer that's had a better year than him.
Yeah, fair point. Scotty Scheffler. But he was 33rd of 54th in LIV Riyadh. So, I mean, the last time he played the course, he was really quite poor. Maybe he didn't like the floodlights. Maybe he only prefers playing the Riyadh in natural light. I don't know. I mean, it did seem quite dark in places when I was watching that event. But more importantly, he was rubbish last time out in the Spanish Open, and he hasn't played since then. So, yeah, Neiman, rusty, not for me. And then I suppose you want me to discuss Tom McKibben. You're not going to let me know.
Listen, if you can put a line through his most recent effort and he came here fresh off of what happened in Hong Kong, you'd be saying this is the man to beat.
Well, he played all right last week in the DP World Tour Championship. He closed with a 67 for 16th place. So, yeah, he was disappointed in Abu Dhabi, but he played well last week. His last Asian Tour appearance, of course, Hong Kong Open, won by Arthur Track. He actually made his live debut in Riyadh at this golf course in February, and he finished 15th. So there is lots to like about Tom McKibben this week, but I prefer my three.
Yeah, loving Uline at the prices for sure. Should we move on then, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right. We are going to move on to the RSM Classic. And this is a two-course setup, right? So just talk us through the format, when to bet by, and more on the tracks.
Yeah, the Seaside Course and the Plantation Course, Sea Island Resort, Georgia. The Seaside Course is 7,005 yards, par 70, only two par fives. The Plantation Course, 7,060 yards, par 72, four par fives. The Seaside Course became a PGA Tour venue for the first time in 2010. Plantation Course added to the tournament in 2015. The Seaside Course, short, fiddly, you need to scramble well, but scoring is always low unless the wind blows. The Plantation Course is inland, parkland track, more scorable, full set of par fives. So you need a low one at the Plantation. The players get 18 holes on each course over the first 2 days. Then the final two rounds are at the Seaside Course. We've got sunny, warm weather coming, light to moderate breezes, a field of 156 going to post.
So will they all play one course on Thursday and then all play one course on Friday, or do they mix it up?
No, mix it up, Dave. Mix it up.
Why do that? That's so annoying. I hate that.
Well, to get them round, they wouldn't be able to fit them all on. That's why they can have a big field.
I know, but he's played that course, which is the easier course to score, and you have to think of, it's hard enough trying to follow it all anyway, so just, it's not for me.
It's a doddle compared to the Daniel Links. I mean, the Daniel Links Championship should come with a blooming warning, because this year's Daniel Links Championship really was exceptionally volatile with the tee times. You know, this one won't be anywhere near as bad, because the weather forecast is okay, Dave. This is not Bermuda Championship weather. The winds are lighter. There's still some breeze there, but not a lot.
Not a siren or a clapton. Good.
No, yeah, I don't think we need to this time, because the wind actually picks up as the week goes on. I think Sunday's the breeziest day. So, I don't think we need a klaxon.
Okay, where are we in the world as well here?
Georgia. Yeah, beautiful.
Okay,
beautiful,
so when Georgia. Are we getting bets on by?
About 1 p.m. 1 p.m. on Thursday.
Good. Right. At the Roll of Honour, Maverick McNealy, defending champion, Ludvig Åberg, Svensson, Gooch, Streb. Going through some of the winners here, Steve, there are some huge prices. So I did wonder to myself if you was going to dip your toe into the bottom of the market here and try and find one at a huge, huge price. But it's been some, 300, 400 to one winners of this event in the past.
Yeah, I haven't got any of the market leaders. You'll be delighted to know, because Michael Thorbjørnsen is residing in that section.
Thank God.
I have gone fairly deep on the board.
Okay, right. So what sort of player are we looking for?
It's an all-round test over the first 2 days. You know, you're playing a coastal track and at the Seaside Course. You're playing a parkland track at the Plantation Course. I think over the weekend, scrambling is a very, very key stat. Very tricky greens, windswept greens. I really need a smart short game at the Seaside Course and accurate iron play as well. So, the weather will play a big part in this. If the wind does get really up, it becomes really fiddly. But when it's down, you remember Ludvig Åberg destroying this track in decent weather a couple of years ago. Ludvig Åberg, birdie in virtually every hole. We're going to see plenty of birdies this week, Dave. Yeah, you need smart putters. You need a smart putter. I think you'd be left behind if you're not holding putts.
Okay, well, the market then. Harris English, generally favourite with most bookmakers. Some bloke called Michael Thorbjørnsen's next in. Brian Harman, Siwoo Kim, Jay Poston, Rico Hoey, Denny McCarthy, Thorbjørn Olesen, Chris Kirk. How many players are we attacking this golf tournament with?
Four selections, Dave.
Okay, three and a four. So 12 each way doubles. If you want to play that way, who's the main pick?
Eric Cole, who's been threatening a PGA Tour breakthrough for a while now. This was a late bloomer. He lost a playoff for the Honda Classic at the start of 2023, and then he's been knocking on the door of the winner's closure ever since. Later that year, he was fifth in the Mexico Open. He was sixth in Canada, fourth in the Fortinet Championship, third in the Shriners, second in the Zozo, third in the RSM Classic. His full RSM Classic form figures are 39-3-15. This tournament suits him really well. A lack of driving distance is his main weakness. He's not a serious handicap in the RSM, both short courses. Last year, he was on leaderboards regularly. This year, he was fifth in the Sony Open in January, similar assignment, short course, coastal, fifth in the Byron Nelson in May, and more recently, ninth in the Sanderson Farms, 10th in the Worldwide Technology Championship the week before last. This is a 37-year-old, ready to win, short game wizard, and I can forgive last week's miscut in Bermuda, Dave. Leo, loose driving has been the main issue lately for Cole. It was howling last week. You know, borderline unplayable conditions at times. Cole got a really bad set of tee times. There was a draw bias over the first 2 days. Cole was on the wrong side of it. He suffered a snowman at the 17th hole in round one. Triple bogey 8. I feel like getting the weekend off is a blessing in disguise, really. Another two rounds getting blown all over the place. I think he was best to have the weekend off and then prepare for a tournament which suits him better. Because, as I say, there's not as much wind forecast in Georgia this week. So if he can keep it in play off the tee, his iron play has been great lately. His short game is exceptional. I think we're going to get an overdue PGA Tour breakthrough.
Okay. Well, it is the season for that sort of thing. We had a maiden winner last week as well. Here's the main pick. Who's the next best?
Next best is Vincent Whaley, a 30-year-old who I feel is at the peak of his powers. My top two tips for this event, both really good putters. Whaley only needed one season to get promoted from the Korn Ferry Tour in 2019. He was second in the Bahamas that year, so he showed an early liking for teeing up by the coast. The best finish of his PGA Tour rookie campaign came in Puerto Rico, further evidence of his liking for coastal golf. And the reason that he stayed on the PGA Tour since is how well he's performed at this stage of the season. He loves playing in the Bermuda Championship and he loves playing in the RSM Classic. His last four starts in Bermuda have yielded form figures of 7-8-5-3. He was third in the Bermuda Championship on Sunday, and his last two starts in the RSM Classic resulted in 13th place and 8th place. His last two Saturday rounds at the Seaside course have been 64 and 63. He's up to 73rd in the FedEx standings now, Dave. So that effort last week, taking all the pressure off him, he can have a lovely, relaxing week in Georgia, playing one of his favourite events with the pressure off. He was 2 over par through 7 holes last week, Dave. It felt like he was feeling the pressure, the weight of expectation to make another big check at his favourite event. I thought it was really gutsy that he overcame that bad start and then set a new personal best in Bermuda. He was bogey-free on Friday, Dave. I mean, can you imagine playing a round of golf in strong winds and going bogey-free? I mean, there were hardly any bogey-free rounds last week, and, you know, great effort on the Friday, and then, you know, hung in there at the weekend. So I think Vincent Whaley will spend another week floating around the leaderboard. He's obviously a maiden. I'm hoping Cole and Whaley can, as you say, take inspiration from Adam Schenck and get their first win.
I'm glad you've picked someone with that kind of reasoning and rationale as well. Because one of my questions after you've given your selections were, is there anyone in this field who's kind of now safe and is almost on a free roll this week? Because that's the sort of golfer that I want to be with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the relief will be palpable for the likes of Vincent.
Just go out and enjoy yourself now. Try and win a golf tournament.
That's it. So, my next tip's a maiden as well, who's pressure-free. I'll come to him now if I may.
You might.
tip number three is Adrien Dumont de Chasseur. I apologize for lacking my usual luster, Dave. It's not the week for jollity, but I'm delighted to see Adrien Dumont de Chasseur back on the PGA Tour. He was amazing on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2023, you might remember. He won his very first Korn Ferry Tour event. We started backing him during his PGA Tour rookie campaign in 2024. His two best performances of his PGA Tour rookie campaign came at Coastal Tracks. He was sixth in the Puerto Rico Open. He was third in the Bermuda Championship. Those performances weren't enough to keep his card. He started this year playing on the DP World Tour. He did okay. He finished eighth in the Qatar Masters. Then he switched his focus back to the Korn Ferry Tour. And from May onwards, he's been a leaderboard regular on the Korn Ferry Tour. He shot a round of 59 in June, Dave, in the Wichita Open. Then he won his second Korn Ferry Tour title last month. Rounds of 61, 61, 64, 65. Seven-shot victory. I mean, incredible golf. Then he was 18th in the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. Took a month off to reset, prepare for life back on the PGA Tour. So here he comes, the new, improved Adrien Dumont de Chasseur, a 25-year-old, ready to rumble. He was 25th on his RSM debut last year. I expect him to go better this time. Really exciting times for Adrien Dumont de Chasseur. I'm trying to keep a lid on excitement this week for obvious reasons. I thought the DP World Tour Championship staking plan was unbeatable. We are excited to see Adrien Dumont de Chasseur back on the PGA Tour.
Well, I've just scrolled down the market and he's a long way down. So I like the sound of that. Yeah. Cool. I can see a de Chasseur Urlein double coming up here, each way play. Like big it. Prices. That's what we like. Big prices. Right. Those at the head of the market then. Let's start with Harris English. This is a great market to get stuck into. 22s, sort of 25s in a place to field here. Lovely shaped golf market for each way bullets. Harris English tops it.
He does, and we'll come to the market leaders after our final selection, if I may, Dave.
We've got
one more to go in this one. And we are
yes,
keeping
the three
faith.
And a four. Apologies.
Three and a four.
Yes.
That's okay, Dave. That's okay. And we're keeping the faith.
Excited. So I'm assuming player number four is an even bigger price.
Well, player number four is a bigger price than I expected him to be. And I feel like the bookmakers are reacting to a perceived poor performance last week. And that the final selection is Nico Echeverria. We are keeping the faith. We're keeping the faith with Nico Echeverria because I think he's opened up 50-1 in the market, and I think it's an overreaction because it was just a little spell on Saturday where he lost his head. He dropped five shots in seven holes. He finished 46th in the tournament. His putter was unusually cold all week, and he didn't seem fully focused at times. There was a crazy moment in round one when he hooked a drive off the cliff, and then 2 minutes later, he's having an on-course interview. I couldn't believe he'd accepted the on-course interview in those circumstances. Yeah, he kept a brave face in the on-course interview. He was typically he's an amiable character, but then as soon as the on-course reporter had left, then he started shouting at this cameraman in front of him. There was this crazy cameraman. I think Robert Lee, who was commentating at that stage, was making suggestions that the cameraman had been drinking too much. He was the cameraman was just sort of wandering around in front of Echeverria. So Echeverria had a horrific hole, made a double bogey. The on-course commentator and the crazy cameraman, that hole, that 15th hole, was the key to all his downfall last week. He was five over par for the 15th hole last week. He was going into the weekend, he's on the fringes of contention. Then, as I say, he had that crazy hour when he threw away, five shots very, very quickly. I think it was just a short spell of bad golf, a few difficult circumstances. And, we know how much Echeverria loves coastal golf, Dave. We were talking about it last week. His maiden win came in Puerto Rico. We know his short game is usually fantastic. He tied second in this last year, Dave. He tied second in the RSM Classic. He's course proven. So I think he'll get in contention this week and stay interested. It was just on Saturday when he needed a fast start on Saturday, didn't get it. And then he seemed to just check out of the tournament, which is easy. Yeah, understandable, isn't it? The winds are howling. You're now feeling like you've got a mountain to climb. And he sort of mentally checked out. He played all right on Sunday, and I've certainly got no concerns about the state of his game.
Yeah, big price he is as well. And he's just one of them players that he can be quite streaky, can't he? And just like all of a sudden just put a run together and just put the lights out.
Yeah, he's playing well in his two tournaments prior to last week. Really well suited to this assignment. So, I think he must remain in the staking plan.
Okay, right. Now we have covered all of the tips. We can tackle the top of the market. I was getting far too excited. Right, Harris English then. Talk to me. Yeah. Not in the team.
Well, he hasn't played since the Ryder Cup. He hasn't played since the Saturday of the Ryder Cup, because you remember Victor Hovland had his neck problems. So Harris English didn't even get to play in the singles. So loads of rust in Harris English's system. He lives locally. He lives locally. It's why he's playing in this. Obviously a quality player. Obviously, if he was sharp, you'd give him every chance, but there has to be a good chance he's not sharp.
Okay. As I mentioned, some bloke called Michael Thorbjornsson, who, with some of the firms, he's actually the favourite to win this event.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great chance. He's got a great chance. I mean, you could have the Thorbjornsson-McKibben double. I mean, I think Tom McKibben can win the Saudi International. I think Michael Thorbjornsson can win the RSM Classic, but I knew I'd be hung, drawn and quartered if I'd put him up again. I mean, Thorbjornsson finished eighth last year in this, Dave. He opened with a 64 at the Plantation course. I think the Plantation course really suits him, and I expect him to go well at the Plantation course. I just wonder whether his short game will let him down at the Seaside course. I mean, he's 151 places higher in the world rankings than he was coming into this event last year, and he finished eighth. So, there are grounds for thinking Thorbjornsson will go well. I prefer mine. I prefer mine at the prices, because, as you say, Thorbjornsson is still being shown great respect in the market. The bookmakers haven't thrown him in the bin, Dave. That's for sure.
Okay, right. Two players that I noticed have been very well backed that I want to ask you about. Brian Harman, who's third in the market.
Yeah, Brian Harman lives locally. You know, every chance, well suited to the assignment. He was fourth in 2017. He was second in 2022. He dearly loved to win this event and in front of family and friends. So, yeah, Brian Harman, I respect. I mean, yeah, I respect all the three players you've mentioned there. Prefer mine. You know, mine are deeper in the betting and better value, in my opinion.
Okay. And then just selfishly, I want to ask you about one who's been well backed, Sahith Theegala.
Yeah. Talking a good game last week. Seems to have gained a little bit of confidence. I mean, he was so close to missing the cut last week. Yeah,
he's terrible. One of my favourites. Yeah.
Yeah, terrible, terrible first round. And then played really well on the Friday to get into the weekend. He feels like he's getting back to his best. But I want to see a bit more evidence first.
Okay. Listen, do we need to have a whip round, Steve, to buy you a radiator in the cabin there? We're rocking the Wentworth apparel. A bit chilly.
Yeah, I mean, the temperature has dipped, isn't it? This week, you really feel that winter's coming.
The car was frozen this morning for the school run. Frozen up.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. No, I'm very fortunate we can walk to the school from our house. So all we got to worry about is, you know, slipping on the ice. And Tommy Tiger came off his scooter the other day, actually. That's a rather nasty incident. Yeah, well, I live about a 2-minute walk from the school, and yet we're still nice. The last people to arrive when I'm in charge. If you come off your scooter, you're going to be late, I'm afraid. But this time of the year, you just want to hibernate like John Rahm.
I want to play golf, Steve. I want to get out of there. Yeah.
Do you not get cold hands, Dave?
I want to get out there.
No, I like your attitude, Dave. I like your get up and go. Yes. Yeah, I feel like I just want to sit in and eat carbohydrates next to a warm fire. Starchy food. I just want to eat cheesy chips 24 hours a day. But, different strokes.
What about eat kebabs and such with your man Luke Littler, who did the business?
Oh, yeah. I love Luke Littler. He was a hero on Sunday. I'm sorry the double didn't come in. I mean, he was so close to the double in 2 weeks running, anyway. But I mean, yeah, I did have a single as well. He's a phenomenal sportsman. He's got a very tricky draw in the one this weekend, though, Dave. It's the Players' Championship Finals this weekend. It's not the World Championship next. You've got the Players' Championship Finals in Minehead, Butlins. I think Littler's draw is a little bit tricky in that one. I think Gerwyn Price is the value in that one. I like Gerwyn Price's quarter, and I think come the semis, Luke Littler might have been knocked out. They're very short matches. You know, the reason we loved him so much for the last one, massive matches. And yeah, the best player typically wins the longer matches. But you got some best of 11s to negotiate in the Players' Championship Finals, Dave. So yeah, I wouldn't put Littler in your doubles for this one if you're going to have doubles.
But, is that a one-fold? How long is that? Is that a shorter format? Is that over the weekend?
Starts Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then on Sunday, you've got to play three matches, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. So it's a test of stamina. Like that, by then, the matches get longer. Yeah, I was toying with James Wade in the bottom half, but I think it will test him to play three matches on the Sunday. So I think a fit fella like Gerwin Price, who's lost a lot of weight, he's never felt better. Yeah, I think Gerwin Price's stamina will come into play on Sunday, and I think he's the bet. If you can get double figures, it's a great bet, in my opinion. But yeah, I apologise to golf fans going on about the darts again, but we need all the help we can get at the moment, and I think the darts is...
well, we can talk sport. It's a great weekend of sport. One of my favourite fighters is fighting in the early hours of Sunday morning. Anthony Yard takes on David Benavidez. Someone's going to sleep in that fight. So if you're up in the early hours on Sunday, that one's worth watching. That is, I think that's in Riyadh as well. I'm pretty sure that's overseas. So
Is he a yardie? I mean, everything is in Riyadh these days, isn't it? I mean, there's lots going on there. Do you think they get Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury to fight over there? There's lots of talk about that being...
If he gets through Jake Paul first, yeah.
You think that's a banana skin, do you? Yeah.
I don't. Right, yeah. Okay, let's have a roundup then of the tips this week. It is a 3 and a 4, not a 3 and a 3, 3 and a 4. So 12 each way doubles if you want to play that way. On the Asian tour, who are we going with?
David Puge, Thomas Peters, Peter Ruhlein.
And the RSM Classic PGA Tour?
Eric Cole, Vincent Whaley, Adrian Dumont de Chasseur, and Nico Echeverria.
Nico Echeverria completing the team. Wonderful stuff. Just a reminder that is, of course, Safer Gambling Week 2025 this week. We gave you the website a little bit earlier on, safergamblinguk.org, for all your guidance and support there. So across the industry, we're highlighting it is Safer Gambling Week 2025. And as ever, you out there, enjoy the golf and gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week.